Well, I'd like to thank Reverend Lamont, first of all, for asking me here tonight. It's a privilege to come and share my testimony with you. And as he was saying, it's a testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I do have a testimony to tell of his saving and keeping power. I don't know if you can hear the accent there still. I'm originally from New Zealand, so right the other side of the world. Married to a Frenchman and living in Ulster. That's not bad, is it? So I just want to give you an idea of my upbringing, first of all. I was brought up in a Christian home in New Zealand, in Rotorua, which is about the middle of the North Island. And my mum and dad took us faithfully along to the Baptist church there, and we grew up through the Sunday school, the Bible class, the youth group. And my mum and dad were also very faithful in having our daily family altar, the Bible reading, and the Lord's Prayer every morning. My mum has told me just recently that actually when I was just 4 or 5 years old, she asked me, "Delwyn, would you like to have the Lord Jesus in your life?" And that I apparently said yes, a definite yes. So the Lord was already working in my heart from an early age. I remember being 9 or 10 years old when at the end of a children's mission in the Baptist church that we attended, I asked the Lord into my heart. And since then, another important event is kind of sticks out in my mind, and that would be when I was just 13 years of age at an Easter convention camp. It was a family camp, and I just remember the Easter message as being that the Lord, it's the sins of each one of us that put the Lord Jesus on the cross. And after I heard that message, I remember leaving the room, running out of that room and running back to the tent. We were all staying in tents, and just getting down on my knees and asking the Lord to forgive me and feeling very deeply convicted of my sin. And I think those are all precious memories of growing up in the Lord. But as I grew into my teens, it seemed to me that there was an emptiness in my Christian life. My Christianity seemed to have become just a be good religion. And I came to feel more and more a failure as a Christian, and I didn't know the way out. And I became more and more dissatisfied and just really wanted out of the whole situation. And that's a sad place to come to as a child who's been brought up in a Christian home. But the Lord was to work his way in my life in a way that I could never expect. Because the opportunity actually came for me to get right out of that whole situation. A request came from Tahiti when I was in my last year in high school, and they were asking for an au pair over there. And so I, of course, jumped at this possibility. I thought, at last I'm going to leave all my problems behind me and get out to this beautiful country of Tahiti. It's just a little to the north of New Zealand there in the Pacific Ocean. So away I went, and in fact, of course, found that my problems stayed with me. I missed my home and friends very much, and I made no new close friends, but it was a time for me of searching the Word of God. And I really believed, I'd been brought up to believe that God answered prayer, and I believed that, and I prayed and read the Bible as I had never done before. And looking back, I can see that the Lord did answer that faith that I had. And in the end, after 9 months, the family I was with in Tahiti were going back to France, and they said, "Well, we can find you another job as an au pair in Paris." And that's how I ended up in Paris as an au pair to start with. And it was there that I started attending a small evangelical church just on the outskirts of Paris that had been recommended to me by a relative in New Zealand. So you can see the long torturous road that took me, brought me to Paris. But in that little church on the outskirts of Paris was where I really discovered that I could live the Bible, and I could live that life of faith that I had seen in people around me until then, but that I had not been able to put into practice. And I believe it was through the faithful preaching of the Word and just coming to the Lord in repentance and surrender in a daily way, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, that I was able to come into a lovely closeness with the Lord And that was a time when the Bible really opened up to me. I'd been reading it up until then, but not really understanding it, and it didn't really feed me or nourish me as a Christian. And that was when I would say, from that date, it really started to. And I began to really love going to the meetings, and I really enjoyed the prayer times. And that was a big difference from my Christian life up until then. And I would say, just to any young person who's feeling discouraged, maybe feeling dissatisfied, that is really worth going on with the Lord, praying and continuing to read your Bible and to seek Him until you come to that closeness with Him. So I became a member of that small church, and I then left my au pair job and started my university studies. I also met Axel in that church, and we became engaged and were eventually married in 1985. And then our daughter Victoria was born in 1990. But as we saw the blessing of the Lord upon us, we also couldn't help noticing a growing opposition to the little church that we were in. And largely, I suppose, due to the context in France and the words of a few ill-intentioned people, that little church found itself accused of being a sect, as they call it in French, or which really translates as a cult in English. And this brought a wave of media attention upon the church, and really went snowballed from bad to worse, until it even came to court proceedings, without, of course, the slightest proof that there was anything true in the accusations. So these were false accusations against the church, and there was nothing that they could be founded on, which was amazing to me that you could even get into court on it. But coming from an English-speaking background, I just didn't think that was possible, but that's what happened in France. And so it came to affect us personally. And it was in 1993, when Victoria was just 3 years of age, that we found the police on our doorstep. And this was following all these media press articles and the court proceedings that had been going on. Now, there had been nothing concerning our family, and we were expecting nothing concerning Victoria. But the police came in and searched our house and took us for questioning, in a case that we didn't know who the accusations were exactly against, as they call it. It was a case against X, so an unknown person. So we were just taken in for questioning, and really they kept us there for until the afternoon. And I had been asking for food and drink with Victoria, who was with me. And at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a policewoman just put her head around the door and said, "Victoria, would you like to come for a meal with me?" And I was a little taken aback, and I said, "Well, you'll bring her right back, won't you?" And she said, "Yes." But an hour later, three policemen came into that room and said, "Your daughter has been placed in state care." And you can imagine the total shock that was to me. It was totally unexpected. There had been no previous inquiry into our family, whether it be by the police or the judiciary or social services even. And even that morning, when they'd been questioning me, there'd been no questions at all about Victoria. And in fact, the policeman had said, "Isn't she a little darling?" and chucked her under the chin, and that all seemed very positive and friendly towards her. But Victoria was now in state care, and they told me I could do nothing about it. It had been a decision taken under the orders of the public prosecutor. Then I was taken into another police station and put into a police cell for 3 hours. And I think that was really when the shock hit me, that they had actually come and taken away my child, and that I didn't know when I would see her again. And the only thing I could really do at that time was to cry out to the Lord. And I just remember crying, "Lord Jesus." And the Lord brought to my mind a verse in Matthew chapter 5. It's verse 11. It's the last of the Beatitudes. And it reads, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And that verse was so applicable to our situation that it really just gave me the determination to get up and fight to regain custody of Victoria. And so that was what we did from then on. But we were really fighting against a brick wall. The judiciary had taken Victoria away, and they were not prepared to give her back. They were not prepared to come back on a decision that they had taken. And although we tried every avenue in the 2 years that followed, politically, legally, through social services, nothing seemed to work. And after 2 years, we could not say that we had made any progress. We still were not seeing Victoria, and we could only write letters to her in the hope that she received them, and we were getting nothing back. And it was at that stage, when I was expecting Elvira, that we decided that we had to leave France. Basically, the same thing could have happened to Elvira, and we were not prepared to let that happen. So I left for New Zealand at that stage, and Axel then left to come here to the United Kingdom, and eventually to Northern Ireland, where he was told that Dr. Paisley would be able to help him. And Elvira and I then came and joined him here at the end of 1995. Now, I can really say that coming to Ulster was a turning point in our whole case. And not only did Dr. Paisley have an understanding of the battle that we were in France, but he was able to intervene, and he did everything he possibly could in Westminster and in the European Parliament. And we're very thankful, not only for his help, but also for the support and prayer that we received, and practically, from the people of the Martyrs Memorial, who really took Victoria upon their hearts and carried her and prayed for us too, just that we would have wisdom. And I believe it was that, it was those prayers that brought around the turning point in the whole case. Now, from then on, it happened that by 1998, I was able to go over to France and see Victoria for the very first time. And that was very difficult to do, but at the same time, it was remarkable because I saw that the Lord had really kept her and preserved her, and that was really an answer to prayer. There was still that link between mother and daughter, and we had a fantastic 3 hours together, and that was really the start of us getting back together. The following year, then, I was able to go over to France several times to see Victoria, and that also helped build up the relationship again and helped us just to get to know each other again and be able to give Victoria that trust that she needed to have in her mum. So this was, of course, with a lot of support going on from people here in Ulster. Now, we thought that with all these things going well and positively, surely, French judiciary, who had had no reason to take Victoria away in the first place, and who had had no reason to keep her away from us for all those years, would surely come to the point of saying, okay, we agree Victoria can go home with you. But in spite of everything going positively with Victoria, and in spite of all the efforts we made, by July 2000, the judge for children, who was looking after the whole case, really just turned around and said, right, I'll have an examination done by a child psychologist. And that child psychologist's conclusions said that it would be premature for Victoria to come home and that it would be unsettling for her. Now, that was after 7.5 years of Victoria being away. And she was saying unsettling because Victoria would be leaving France to come to an English-speaking country. And we just realised at that stage that there was nothing we could do. We really had done everything on every level to make it possible for Victoria to come home legally, but the French judiciary were just not prepared to budge from their position. And for us, it was really the law of a state going against the law of God. I had the opportunity just after that hearing of a 3-day holiday with Victoria, and I believe it was God sent. I really believe that the Lord allowed that. And Axel and I felt convinced at that time, after a lot of thought and prayer, that this was our one opportunity to bring Victoria home. Now, I do not encourage anybody to go against any law of the country. I really would not. But in that extreme case, in those extreme circumstances, we felt that it was our duty as responsible Christian parents to bring our daughter out of France, not only for her emotionally and psychologically, but for her spiritually. Victoria was then in her going into her last year in primary school. And we knew that if we didn't bring her out then, it really would be much, much harder for her to come later on. And so we took that decision, and we really just said to the Lord, Lord, if this is your will, then you'll open the way and you'll make everything possible. But it was really taking things, humanly speaking, into our own hands, although we were trusting in the Lord, and we knew that it would be up to him to judge. But we left France on the 12th of July, 2000, and we arrived here in Northern Ireland very early on the Sunday, 16th of July. And I just thank God for that journey. He really kept us. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But I was so convinced that this was what the Lord wanted us to do with Victoria, that it really, that was what kept me going. And I hope it wasn't too bad for Victoria coming over all that way. And we had to, of course, take a very long indirect route, because our names would have probably been on the list of people to stop, you know, if we'd just taken the plane straight from France to here. So our family was at last then reunited in July 2000. And in spite of the French then initiating extradition proceedings against myself and eventually against Axel, in spite of Hague Convention proceedings as well against Victoria to try and get her forcibly back to France, the French authorities were not able to take those to make them come to the end that they wished. And they actually had to bring them to an end themselves and withdraw the extradition proceedings against myself, withdraw also the Hague Convention proceedings, and the only proceedings left, which are still ongoing and which we would appreciate your prayers for, are the extradition proceedings against Axel. But having said that, we can say we have really seen the grace of God throughout this whole case. And we just want to thank him and praise him tonight. I believe that if we had tried to plan it ourselves, we would not have been able to. Coming out of France on the 12th of July, you know that, of course, Bastille Day is the 14th, and all the judges were away on holiday from that day on. And it was just the perfect timing. We could not have done better if we'd really sat down and thought it out ourselves. But the Lord had arranged everything. And I believe that he turned the situation around since we've even come brought Victoria home, by allowing us to be together as a family. And I really believe that he's vindicated our stand for Victoria and our desire for her to come to know him, especially because just 10 days after her coming here, she was saved in Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. And that, of course, was for us was totally unexpected once again, because we just didn't know how she was standing spiritually. And I can just say, you know, that can only be of the Lord. Another thing that has greatly encouraged us and really shown us that that was the way that the Lord wanted us to go was that Axel's parents have since been able to come across. And although his dad was then taken ill, and very ill, and eventually passed away just last June, we believe that he passed away in the Lord. And for us, that was really the Lord's blessing. And we just thank him wholeheartedly for that. We believe that he has worked through this situation to glorify his name. So that's really all I have to leave with you as to the saving and keeping power of the Lord. If there's anybody here who doesn't know the Lord, I would really encourage you to come to him. When I look back, this whole story is a real adventure. And I mean, sometimes, you know, coming through that, of course, it was dark and it was black and we just did not know where we were going. But in the end, the Lord knew and the Lord guided us through it step by step. So I would just encourage you to come to him, because as the pastor said at the beginning, he does have saving power, mighty saving power and mighty keeping power that we can testify to tonight. Thank you for listening.